Okay, everybody, I hope everyone's doing well. It looks like a very exciting week this week, which is fine because, to be quite honest, as far as we're concerned, when we talk about biblical people, places, and things, tonight's character is an individual who didn't know and was not able to hear a tremendous amount. In that regard, I'd like us to talk a little bit about Hushim ben Dan. Let's start at the beginning, where the Torah tells us what we need to know about Hushim. So it tells us as follows, Ubnei Dan Hushim. The children of Dan were Hushim. When Yaakov Avinu starts to head down to Mitzrayim, he takes a census. And as he takes the census, he highlights the fact that Dan's children were Hushim. Now, that's not a normal way of speaking. Normally, when we refer to an individual, we really say Uben Dan Hushim. So why is he referred to in the plural if he was really only one person? And in Sefer Bamidbar as well, which we'll find in source number 2, we find Eila b'nei Dan l'mishpachosam, v'shucham mishpachas ha-shuchami, Eila mishpachos Dan l'mishpachosam. We find Dan had a child whose name was Shucham, not Hushim, but rather Shucham. And by the way, the Torah tells us, kol mishpachos ha-shuchami lefkudehem arba'a v'shishem elef arba'meos, there were 46,400 people. And this time we have to stop and ask ourselves, is his name Hushim or Shucham? And what is the difference between Hushim and Shucham? Which, of course, gives us the right to ask the Wenger corollary question, what do the names Hushim and Shucham mean? So while we go through the shir tonight, let's try to keep that in our minds as well. The Radak in Sefer Bereishis tells us, Lo hayalo ela ben echad, that Dan only actually had one child, and his name was Hushim. And the reason why it says the reason we use the word b'nei is to keep it parallel to say that all the children, we didn't leave anybody out, is b'nei God, b'nei Dan Hushim. And of course, so what? So he was a one person. But why was his father, we have to stop and ask a question, why was Dan limited to only one son? And what does this teach us about his son? So there is a Medrash Haggadah that's worth taking a look at over here, and it's source number 4 in front of you as well. The Medrash Haggadah tells us, Dan only had one son who was taken down to Egypt. Ushmo Hushim, his name was Hushim. Right, he only gets counted as one descendant. What does that mean? He only gets counted as one descendant. What that means to say is that Shucham hu Hushim. Why is Shucham is Hushim? Why is he called Hushim? Shehayelo banim kichushim shel kanim. They were as weak as reeds. Davar acher v'nolam nikrashimo Shucham sheyashachur begufo. He was dark. He was weak of character. He used to flap around like reeds. And by the way, while we're already highlighting, Bahaya Kaved Ozen, he was deaf. So now we learn that Hushim had 3 major challenges in his life, according to the different versions of this Medrash Haggadah. He was of a darker complexion. He certainly was somebody who was weak, and he couldn't hear. So what? So he was weak. So he was small. Why does the Torah want us to understand that? What's the message to bring us from this message? And there is a Gemara in Bava Basra that we have to talk about over here. The Gemara in Bava Basra quotes in the name of Abaye, Tashmau b'nei Dan Hushim, Amar le Rava, Dilma Ketana de Bechizkia. Right? Why do we say b'nei Dan Hushim? So Tana de Bechizkia tells us, Shahayu merubim kechushim shalkana. It's not that he was small like reeds, but he was somebody who had quite a number of people. It wasn't that he was weak like reeds, but rather he was large and grew like the reeds. You know, sometimes when you travel in towards New York on the New Jersey Transit, they go through that area right past the caucus into the tunnel into Manhattan, and there are reeds all over the place. And you look through, you see they extend it far and wide. That's the same thing that we're supposed to think about when we think about Hushim ben Dan. That doesn't really look like somebody who is weak and small. Kushim Shalkana, he seems to be quite a large number of people. What else do we know about him? How are we supposed to make sense of this Gemara in light of all the things we've seen about him so far? He was the only child, he was weak, he was deaf, but at the same time, he seemed to have been filled with a lot of people. What does this tell us about him? And I think that the reason why we're focusing on Chushim ben Dan is not necessarily for the fact that he appeared in last week's Parsha, but rather because of the background that appears in this week's Parsha. There's a Gemara in Sota that highlights, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon ben Tzadok. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rav Shimon ben Tzadok, and Kira Lalashon Mechira, the word Kira means Mechira, and what does that mean? Shekin Krache Ayam Koron Mechira Kira, Amar Lahu, Havulia Igrisa, when the brothers came to go bury Yaakov Avinu, Esav HaRasha met up with them. And he did not want to let them go ahead and bury Yaakov in Maras HaMachpelah, because he argued that it should have been split down the middle. And since Leah Imenu had already taken the Yaakov portion in the Mahara, Esav wanted the right to be buried and let Yaakov be buried somewhere else. So Yaakov's children claimed, "But what do you mean? You went back to Seir. We have the right. And you sold the Bechora." So Esav said, "Havli Igrisa, bring me proof that that's what I did." So I'm related. They said, "How can we do that? Agrata igarta be'arad Mitzrayim." You have to know that the letter is in Mitzrayim. Uman Nezel. So who should go get the letter? Nezel Naftali, the kol ki ayalta. We should say we'll send Naftali. He's as swift as a gazelle. Tiksiv Naftali ayalta shulcha no sein imre shefer. So I'm Rabbi Yehoshua. Kriyam shefer ela imre sofer. Now Chushim, says the Gemara, our character of this evening, Braid Dan Taman Habu, Ve'akiran Le'udne. You have to know that Chushim was there, and Chushim could not hear. So I'm with whom I hide. He started turning to everybody else and asking, "What's going on over here?" He didn't know what was going on because he couldn't hear it. V'amulei, so they said, "Kamakev Hai Ad Asi Naftali Me'arad Mitzrayim." This guy who is your uncle Esav, great uncle Esav, he is holding this up until Naftali comes back from Egypt. So I'm a little bad to us. Naftali me'arad Mitzrayim ye avi ava mutav b'zayim. Says, wait a minute, until he comes back to Mitzrayim, Yaakov Avinu has to be left here, unable to be buried? That's ridiculous. Shakal kufa machia resha. He took an instrument and whacked him in the head. Natran ene v'naflu akara di Yaakov. His eyes fell out onto the leg of Yaakov. Paschinu Yaakov le'ene v'achayech. And Yaakov Avinu's eyes opened and he smiled. V'hainu diksiv. And that's what the pasuk says in Tehillim: "Yismach tzadik ki chaza nakam pamav yachatz b'dam harasha." Wow! V'osa shah niskaima nevuasa shel Rivka. At that moment in time, the Rivka's nevuah came true. And what was Rivka's nevuah? Lama eshkal gam shneichem yom echad. Right? Why should I lose both of you on the same day? And even though Yaakov Avinu had been dead for a long time, right? As they still wound up getting buried on the same day. So this suggestion based on this Gemara and Sota is absolutely flabbergasting. It sounds as if Chushim ben Dan took on the Esav HaRasha that Yaakov Avinu was scared stiff his whole life to go ahead and do battle with. And now all of a sudden Esav HaRasha shows up and the weak grandson killed Esav? Right. How does that make sense? Is that the correct story? Is there more to the story? How are we to make sense of the story? Which is why, once upon a time, we have to turn around and look at a parallel story. And this time, since we're in the month of Tevis, we just got out of the holiday of Chanukah, perhaps a Yerushalmi Masechta Ksubas might come to mind. And that's in source number 7. Barishona Gazru Shmat B'Yehuda. You should know that originally, the original challenge that existed in regard to the Chanukah story was in Yehuda, in the section of Judea. The Greeks, who were descendants of Esav, wanted to stick it to Yehuda. Right? Why? Because he killed Esav. That's why they started with Yehuda's family, and they enslaved them, and they would rape the daughters, and they would say that before a girl could get married, she would have to go to the governor first. So So that's why they decided that they would start marriages earlier. Right? Once she knows that she was with her husband already, she's not going to allow herself to go to the governor. So the Hanukkah story, Yehudis, is based on Yehuda killing Esau, not Hushim. So now we have a contradiction. Who killed Esau? Was it Hushim ben Dan, tonight's protagonist? Or was it the more likely version of the story that it was Yehuda who killed Esau, not Hushim ben Dan? And how are we going to make sense out of this apparent contradiction? The Alka Chimoni throws yet another monkey wrench into our conversation. Says the Alka Chimoni in source number 8, is the Ami Yehuda Haragis Esau? There are those who say that Yehuda killed Esau. At the time that Yitzchak Avinu died and Yaakov and Esav went ahead and buried him, they're all standing in Maras HaMachpelah, right there in Hebron. And the Shvatim were giving honor to their father Yaakov. So Yatzu Chutz L'Ma'ara Kadesh Shlo Yeh Yaakov Bochel Mizbaz L'Fnei. They didn't want Yaakov Avinu to be left there. So they were there crying. Siskel Esav Nechnas L'Ma'ara. Esav went inside and he wanted to get inside while Yaakov Avinu was still inside. Tzakel Yehuda V'Rasha Nechnas Esav Achara. So Yaakov, Yehuda saw this and he got scared. Amashem Ahori Gisabba B'Fnim. He got nervous that maybe Esav was going to kill Yaakov. So Nechnas Matzas Esav Shubavakish Laroges Yaakov. He walked in and he saw Esav holding a sword right behind his back, getting ready to kill Yaakov. He had Amad Bahargo Meachor, so he killed him right away. Husha Abim Mavarcho Yadchav Arachoy Becha. Lama Bahargo Befanav. Why didn't he kill him in front of Yaakov? They should have clustered Panav Domelo. The Kachalak Lukav of Hargo Meachor. He didn't want to kill him because Esav looked like Yaakov. Lama Bercho Be'orev, Kemosh Nechmat Yehoshua, the Bnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The bottom line is, according to this, Esav was killed way before the death of Yaakov. So, and he was killed by Yehuda. So I have two sources that seem to argue that Yehuda killed Esav. One source that suggests that the weak Hushim ben Dan killed Esav. How are we supposed to make sense out of this apparent contradiction? It's pretty serious questions, and we still want to know, what does this have to do with Hushim ben Dan? So let's take a look at the Shita Mekubetzes in Masechta Sota, where the Shita Mekubetzes comments, Avi Abba Mutal Bebizayon Shako Zulfa, that when Hushim ben Dan came along and he saw this embarrassment, the Shita asks our question, Tema de Yerushalmi Psubas Kamer de Masoros Dianam de Yehuda Katle. The Medrash says that there's a Masorah in the Yerushalmi that Yehuda killed him, as we saw before. So the possibility suggested by Shita Mekubetzes is that it took two of them. It took Yehuda and Hushim to kill him. And Tosas and Gittin comments as well. Citing the Yerushalmi we saw before, Barishona Gozu Gezerah al Yehuda Lefisha Masoros B'Yadam Ha'usam, Yehuda Haragesa Dixib Yadcha Be'orafay Vecha V'tanya Nami B'Sifrei Yadav Rav Lo B'Shash Haragas Esav Uso Perakam D'Sota B'Yamar Hushim Endan Shako Kufo Mach Yareisha Esav V'Nosu Eine V'Nafla Kar Diyako. The bottom line is, Tosis says we have a contradiction just like we saw. And Tosis answers in the underline, Shema Lo Meis Bo'osa Haka Ach Amar Alav Yehuda V'Haraga. The way it happened was Hushim took the first shot. But the one that put Esau's lights out, that was not his. That was Yehuda's. So who ultimately killed Esau? Yehuda. But we give Hushim the credit because he started the process. Now the Birkei Yosef comments and he says, I don't understand this whole process. He offers a slightly different level of interpretation. He says, Ari B'Socher told Mesupa B'Orach Kol Inyan Knisas Yaakov Esav Yehuda L'Ma'ara. He quotes the Medrash we saw in the Alka Chimoni, which also appears in the Midrashim on Tehillim, that seems to suggest that Yaakov and Esav and Yehuda all went into the Maris HaMachpelah, And it tells the story how Yehuda came along and killed Esav from behind. And he says, how could that all be a mistake? And not only that, he says, it appears in the Yalkut Shimoni that also can't all be a mistake. And so therefore he suggests that we have a simple solution. And what is that? He quotes, he says, "V'gazar sh'omer midrashim chalukim heim." He says, it's not so strange for us to turn around and argue that one medrash doesn't have to fit with another medrash. Yonas and Ben Uziel puts the piece that our children learn in the early childhood days into play. And what is that? The Chushim came along and he killed Esav, he chopped off his head, and the head of Esav rolled into the Maras HaMachpelah. He says that suggestion of Tosis doesn't make sense in that situation. So he says we have some sort of competing midrashim, and sometimes that happens, and it's not so odd. So we have Tosis who tries to make the solution and make the two midrashim fit, and we have the Ha'aros on the Birkei Yosef, which was written by the Birkei Yosef, who suggests that, you know, in his opinion, they're just too far apart. But when we have midrashim that are so opposing, there must be some sort of message that we're supposed to be able to take away from them. And what is that message? So the Maharal suggests in source number 12 that the truth is, Ki ha'ariga hazos ruya l'rosh shvatim ol la'achrona shvatim. He says, when we want to go ahead and wipe out Esav, we need to know that either we need the best of the best, or we need the lowest of the low. When we talk about Chushim ben Dan, you have to understand he is the last of the Shvatim. But our message over here is that the last one is not the weak one. In fact, we find throughout Tanakh, certainly in the Mishkan, right, we take the highest of the high, Shevet Yehuda, the leadership, and the back of the back down, and we put them together. How do we find that? Well, let's take a look at who went ahead and built the Mishkan. The Torah tells us at the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaIdus, Asher Pukad Al Pi Moshe, Avodas HaLevi'im V'yad Itamar Ben Aaron HaKohen, that Itamar did the work for the Levi'im, U'Betzalel Ben Uri Ben Chur Matei Yehuda, Asa Eis Kol Asher, Atziva Hashem Es Moshe, Betzalel came along and he came from Shevet Yehuda, Beito Aliyah Berachi Samach Lematei Dan, and that Dan brought us Aliyah, who was the assistant to Betzalel. You're talking about the main head of the project, the general contractor of the Mishkan, and then the secondary person who came in as well. And what the Maharal wants us to take away is that yes, it's true, it's possible we have opposing midrashim as to who came along and killed Esav, but one thing's clear, it could have happened from the greatest among us or the weakest among us. The weakest among us could be the greatest of other nations. You know, the Gemara in Sota elsewhere points out that when we talk about the weakest quality land in the land of Israel, there's one place. Do you know where it is? That's correct. It is Hebron, the very place where this happened. The pasuk says in Parsha Shlach, but Hebron, Sheva Shanim Nivnesa Lifnei Tzoan Mitzrayim. We said that we're told Vayalu Banegev Vayavo Ad Hebron. They came up through the Negev and they came to Hebron. And the Gemara comments and says they went up in Madrega, that even the weakest part of Eretz Yisrael is considered stronger than the best parts of Chutz La'aretz. Well, even the weakest might of Am Yisrael can go ahead and wipe out the Esav HaRasha, the strength of the other nations. The Medrash Rabba also adds in Source 13, in that situation, that this group came along and worked together all the time. The Yehuda Dan connection, or in specifically Yehuda and Hushim connection, was quite strong. Says the Medrash, when Vayigash loved Yehuda, when Yehuda ran up to Tzafnas Paneach, who later turned out to be Yosef, Zoi Shenema Bruach HaKodesh Al Yedei Shlomo, this is what Shlomo HaMelech highlighted when he said, Achachma Ta'oz L'Chacham, Keneged Miyamar Shmoa HaMikra Hazeh, that the wisdom will be a strength to the Chacham. He says, Lo Amru Ala Keneged Yosef HaTzadik, it was a reference to Yosef. Amr of Yochanan Bishasha Tafas Yosef Atzadik has been Yamin, but Amr Lahem Lecha Baishash Adimsa Gavia Biado, Huyeli Abed. When Yosef took Binyamin and threatened to throw him into prison, Amr Lo Yehuda, Yehuda said to him, Binyamin Atfos Vishalom Bebeis Abba, right? You're going to take Binyamin and you think it's going to keep things happy in my father's house? Yad Kos Yehuda Bishag Bekol Gadol. Yehuda roared like a lion. That roar came so loud that Hushim ben Dun heard it. And he jumped ahead and came from the land of Canaan and he joined Yehuda. It's almost like the thundercats of the youth, right? They heard the loud sound and then all of a sudden they came down and they came to Yehuda. The Shagu Shneim, they started roaring together. Ubiksha Eretz Mitzrayim Liapech, it almost caused an earthquake in Mitzrayim. So we see these two guys work together all the time. Not a surprise that they work together on the destruction of Esav as well. And the Alkachimoni and Eov also points out, Kishabachushim and Danetzel Yehuda, Shagu Shneim, they started roaring together. Umekulam Nafdushte Ayaros Gedoloshab in Mitzrayim. From their voices, Mikolam, the two major cities got destroyed. Two major cities that are going to play roles in our life. And which are those two cities? As Pitom, the S. Ramses. Pitom and Ramses got destroyed because of that. That's why they got rebuilt. So we have Hushim ben Dan, the weak, working together with Yehuda, the strongest of the strong. To which I got to stop and ask, well, that's great, but what does Hushim add to Am Yisrael? Once you have a Yehuda, Haisa Yehuda Lakadcho, what do we have when we add Hushim ben Dan? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a fascinating message. And by the way, you should just know it was kedai to have the whole shiur so far, just for this one comment of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. Ulechora Tamuas, says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, it's hard for us to understand. Why didn't anyone else ask the question? Why wasn't anybody else concerned with the understanding that until Naftali comes back, that they're going to have to leave Yaakov Avinu unburied? How could they not have been able to handle it? Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, this is the issue. They started to engage in diplomatic conversations. They filed court cases. Right? They thought that they'll keep making legal arguments. You know how long it takes for things to move through the courts? Everything needed a filing, and then there needed to be an opening, and then there hopefully would be a hearing. And during this whole time, Yaakov Avinu was unburied. And we don't have Hormel on the Matzav, but the people got used to it because they thought they were working on it. Kitibol Shal Adam Chumas Ragal Matzav Agarua Bioser. People get used to the worst, right? Lo Kein Hushim Ben Dan, but that's not what happened with Hushim Ben Dan. Shaik Fad Shmiya, he wasn't able to hear. Hulo Yada Klaal Abikuach Shabinayim, he couldn't hear the debates. He just simply looked and saw what he saw. Somebody who's not used to a situation can't stand the situation. The some kates, so he put an end to it. He whacked him in the head. That was the end of it. Sometimes the fact that you can't understand something gives you the right to just step up to the plate and not get used to evil. And this is what Targum Yonas and Ben Uziel highlights when he says, Ubanav shel Dan zrizim v'sokharim v'in skum l'minyaner. He says, you have to understand the children of Dan, they move quickly. They don't get bogged down for stuff. And perhaps we see that in the name Chushim. Because after all, what's a chush? A chush is an intuition. an intuition. That's what Dunn was able to rely upon, because his children were only intuitive. The Ibn Ezra points that out. L'shulcham hu chushim, eile mishpachos dam l'mishpachosam, ki chushim nechlak l'mishpachos rabos. It's incredible to see that he just continued to have more kids and to continue. And the Maharshal highlights this in Baba Basra when he says, D'shulcham shmo v'nikra chushim al shem chushim shokana, v'hum avuar ki dan lo hayo lo ala ben achad v'shifto ayo margar v'uchlis in yosem yipol ha-shvatim chutz v'shevet Yehuda. If you examine what happened, Chushim may have started off weaker. He may have started, and Dan may have only had one son. But by the time we get to Parshas Pinchas and we start measuring the size of Bnei Yisrael, it is the second largest Shevet. The group that grew the most was Shevet Yehuda, but you know who was a number two? Dan. Think about that for a minute. Binyamin had 10 kids, Dan had one. But by the time they get down and into leaving the land of Israel and getting ready to go into the land of and going back into the land of Israel, Dan had not only caught up in number to the other Shvatim, he had surpassed them. It's based on a chush. And that chush is what Chushim, the master of chush, teaches us. And how do we understand that in depth? So the Shmos Rambo points out to us that you have to understand that as far as Hashem is concerned, when we talk about what happens, people went ahead and they turned around and they looked at Dan and they said, we can make shidduchim with them. Because the biggest and the smallest are all equal for Hashem. They paired up, they worked together, they married together. Because in God's eyes, it's not where you are in station, but what your job is that makes a major difference. And that becomes the lesson of Chushim ben Dan. In fact, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a comment in his commentary on Chumash, where he points out that this is an incredible lesson. It doesn't matter what your challenges are. You can become something incredibly strong. We find that the Psikta makes this comment as well. Says the Psikta, Shucham hu chushim shebeparshas vayigash. Who was Shucham? Shucham was chushim, as it appears in Parshas Vayigash. Kemo kesev kevesh. The lama nema bohem eila. They used to walk behind everybody. But we raise it up. They get a higher status because of whom they are. And how does that fit? It fits because we find that chushim doesn't only mean having a sense or an intuition. It also implies a position of readiness. Indeed, in the Torah, we find when Bnei Yisrael were going into the land of Israel, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe were concerned and wanted the land of Eber HaYarden. Moshe Rabbeinu called them out on it. And so Reuven, Bnei Gad, and Bnei Reuven turned and made a deal with Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, let us have the place over here. We're going to go ahead and travel out in front of Bnei Yisrael, and therefore we'll be able to achieve great things. We're going to go first. This is Chushim ben Dan. Who is Chushim? Chushim was an individual who has the ability to take what he has and to grow from it. We'll find in the Likutei Maharil and in the Shlach Harush and Parshas Pinchas that the word chushim or chush is also, chushim is also the letters in the word Mashiach. And also to understand Dan are also Nun Dalet. And that is to highlight the understanding it's two Shabbosos. If Bnei Yisrael were to keep two Shabbosos, it would be redeemed. Inshallah, add to Masha Kamas Kiro B'Shem Shucham Ki Yehu Kamo Mashuach Mochama. The name Shucham comes from the word Mashuch. What is it? Somebody who is Mashuach Melchama? Somebody who is Mashuach Melchama means he's already ready. He's anointed for a purpose. And this becomes very fundamental and very important. Hushim ben Dan is the man who is prepared. He is the one who is Mashuach. He's the one who is anointed. And he teaches us that if we're prepared, even if we seem to be limited, if we're intuitive, even if we seem limited, there is no limit to how far we can achieve. Sometimes challenges hold us up. But the lesson of Hushim is not to take those challenges too far, but rather to use them to drive ourselves forward so that we can become amazing, incredible, great people. This is our dear friend Hushim ben Dan. This is what he creates for us. And Be'ezras Hashem, in the upcoming weeks, we'll meet again. Next week, we're going to take a break from the standard biblical people, places, and things to focus on a very critical personality, Rav Aryeh Tzvi Fromer, the Kazan Glover Rebbe, the second Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, who is also the founder of the Mishnah Yomis movement. And in honor of the Siyum HaShas HaMishnayos, which will take place in our shul next Shabbos, I would like us to take a little bit of time to explore his life, his times, and his messages, and his impact on Am Yisrael. So tune in next week for that. And Be'ezras Hashem will resume 2 weeks from now. Everyone have a wonderful and terrific Shabbos.